Okay, here we go again, Rick. Sorry. I get all messed up. I try to remember something and then I just draw a blank. But one of Grandma's sisters was, as I said before, Una Hill. She lives somewhere in New Hampshire. Nettie Elwell lives somewhere in Framingham, Massachusetts. And they had two children, Richard and, the other one was a girl, and I'm corresponding with her, and your mother used to, too. And the third one was Nellie Kirk, K-I-R-K, of West Haven, West Haven, Connecticut. And they, excuse me, they had at least one daughter, the Kirks did, and I have no idea, I haven't kept track of them, but we addressed these people as Aunt Una, Aunt Nettie, and Aunt Nellie, but they were great aunts, they were my mother's aunts. And our great aunts, they were siblings to Grandma Wiswell. Okay, that kind of straightens that out. And but I think you have this in print somewhere about these siblings of Margaret Mullen Wiswell. Okay, the next thing is what their voices were like, high, low, fast talker, used words and phrases no longer heard. Oh, I guess we could go on and on about that, about Grandpa Robinson trying to get us kids to smoke his pipe and say you dasn't do it, and he had a lot of colloquialisms that he used, and so did my dad. I remember some of the things he used constantly. He'd, if there was a bunch of junk out in the garage, he'd say, "Oh, it's over in the corner with that bunch of culch," spelled K-U-L-C-H. And then he had a saying that when a woman was a good worker, she was a dabster. I suppose that was spelled D-A-B-S-T-E-R. But, I may remember some more of these things as we go along, because I got to fill up a little more of the tape here. I don't think I'm going to have any trouble getting to 3 hours here. I'm not got too much more to go on your outline. We didn't have any singers in the family that I remember. But my dad, Charles Harrison, did a lot with respect to plays in the church community house in Marlborough. In fact, he directed two or three of them. So whenever they had a play, they'd always come after him. But later on in life, I don't ever remember him doing that. But I remember that he did do it a couple of times. And I guess I carried on the tradition a little bit. When I was in high school, I starred in one of the school plays. It was called Peck's Bad Boy, which was very appropriate for me at that time in my life. And but that was, I had the starring role in that play in high school. And then I was in a Mexican opera of a kind one time. But I'm not much of a singer. I don't think I had a singing role, and it was more of a dancing role. And a funny thing did happen. We had these velvet pants on that had the bell bottoms on it, and big Mexican hats and everything like that on. And in between in between acts while we went in the back of the town hall and back of the stage there and sat down on the stage. And of course, you know, those velvet trousers, they picked up every little bit of dust. And when we came out for the next act, why, we were dancing around on the stage. And when I got home, my mother told me, well, you could have wiped the dust off your pants before you came out there and danced. But anyway, so they knew I'd been loafing in the back in there. But I don't remember too much about the girls in my family or my aunts or uncles or any of them that did any writing or any painting. Now, Grandma Robinson was a painter of sorts. She liked to paint things, well, one that I know of, quite a remarkable one, I thought, was one of the cows they had on the farm. And they were oil paintings, not huge, maybe 12 by 12 or something like that. But, and to tell you the truth, I have no idea what happened to those paintings. I expressed some interest in them at one time, but of course I wasn't around when they cleaned out the old farmhouse up on the Dublin Road. And you had a question in here about how did some of this thing from Sarah Robinson Holcomb get into your mother's hands. Well, you know, your dad, old Dick, he got around a lot, and those two town histories that he gave me from Mount Vernon and the other town around Milford or Wilton over there. I forgot what it was. He gave them to me, and then your mother requested that I send them back so you could use them for your genealogy. But, you know, Dick would get around, and Dick got a lot of that stuff, I think, from the old farmhouse up on the Dublin Road, Sunnybrook Farm. And I think after Uncle Edgar died that your dad would go out there and agree to say, well, if you want any of that stuff, Dick, go ahead and take it. And I know he picked up a lot of stuff when he wrecked those old houses and things like that. He brought more damn stuff home, and he always made a nickel or so out of it some way. Somebody was always looking for something that Dick had, like slates that he had piled up behind the old barn up there and things like that. You know, they used those slates, some of them to patch the roofs when they had problems with one of them breaking or something like that. And I remember going out with him a couple of times when he wrecked a couple of buildings. God, he brought doors home and anything else he could find, any written records of anything. When they wrecked the old Pierce house in Marlborough to make a rest home out of it, why, we went there and, hell, he found some handwritten plans of the old Marlborough water supply and everything, Hall and Croto water supply, and we found that in the old Pierce house, and I forgot who we gave that to, Henry Arsenault or somebody who lived across the street, and he always got it to somebody that was interested in it, but he always had a lot of stuff hanging around that it was really old stuff, and I'm sure you knew that he did some wrecking for Ted Williams, who was a star baseball player that had the highest batting average of any Red Sox. He tore down a barn for old Ted and his wife and rebuilt it back on their place somewhere. And gosh, he stayed down there for a month or so while he was doing that. I'm sure he came home on the weekends, but he lived right there with Ted Williams and his wife while he did that work for him. So, you know, your dad got around, and he had an eye for anything of value. He had a lot of old coins and One time he was asking me about cleaning up the coins, and I told him I thought maybe if we used a little dilute hydrochloric acid, it would clean up some of the coins. And we tried it on one, and it about ruined it. So that was the end of that experiment. Me being a chemist, I guess I didn't know too much that one day. But anyway, your dad had a collection of an awful lot of stuff. And your mother gave me, one of the last times I was there, your mother gave me, she told me to go up in the bedroom where I was sleeping, the little room on the side of the house there, and told me to get in that drawer. She says, you know, Dick's got 4 or 5 watches up there. She says, I wish you'd take a couple of them. And I did, and one was a pocket watch that you had to have a key to wind it, was made in England, and another one was an old railroad Elgin. Damn thing, you wind it up and it was still running. So he picked these things up in these houses, and I wouldn't be surprised that's where all the stuff came from the Robinson family. It came out of the old farmhouse after Uncle Edgar died. So anyway, like I say, every time I looked in those Mount Vernon histories and everything, I just came to a dead end that said George Alfred was born so-and-so and he was unmarried. And whether they put out a newer town history than that, I don't know. But I suppose that's where it came from up on the farmhouse. Okay, I'll think of something else here. I'm going to finish up this page, though. You asked, did a family go on any trips together, train, auto, or other? Well, it was mostly by auto, mostly by truck. All we had was a pickup truck. Grandma and Grandpa Wiswell, in my early years, had not only a 1922 Maxwell touring car, but also a 27 Chevy Londo, which they gave to my older brother Lonnie, and he drove to school when I was getting up there in the 5th or 6th grade. When he was in high school, he was driving that 27 Chevy Londo. But the thing I wanted to tell you about was that Grandpa Wiswell didn't drive, and Grandma certainly didn't drive. And Dad and Mother would have to go down and they'd get the old car out of the garage and get it out there. And sometimes Grandpa Wiswell would go and sometimes he wouldn't. But I remember one time, I think I was sitting up in the front. Grandpa and Grandma Wiswell were in the back with Mother, and Dad was driving. Well, maybe Mother was in the other front seat, but whatever. It was the old Maxwell and had an old wooden steering wheel, great, big, huge thing. And right in the middle was a metal or plastic button, was probably 4 or 5 inches across, and that was the horn button. And we were going around Dublin Lake, the head end of Dublin Lake, right by the cemetery on that curve there, and Dad blew the horn for some reason or other, and that cap came off, the horn button cap came off, and there was a big old spring came out there and went boing, and the lid from the horn went over our shoulders and went into the back seat and hit Grandma Wiswell right on top of the head. And she had on a hat that had plastic flowers and everything on it, you know. And that was interesting, though, that it didn't hurt her, you know. That lid from the horn wasn't all that heavy. It was just it was just comical. I'm sure she didn't appreciate our laughing at her. But that's what happened that day. And like I say, they neither one of them drive. When we went anywhere, it was always in the pickup truck because that's all we had. And I suppose Mother and Dad said, well, why should we buy a car when Graham and Grandpa Wiswell got them anyway? And if we need to go anywhere, we use their cars. But after the 27 Chevy, after they gave that to my brother Lonnie, I don't think they had any more cars after that. And if Grandpa wanted to go somewhere, he took the little pony, the little horse. I forgot what your mother told me that horse's name was, but he'd hook that to the buggy and go around to some of his properties and look at them. We'd go sometimes with him clear up to Roxbury, and you know that was in the buggy. That was quite a trip. You went to Roxbury and came back. It took you 3-4 hours at least, you know, to go up to Middletown Roxbury, and he'd say, right over here is where Bachelor's Cave, where he hid during the Revolutionary War, because he was sympathetic to the English, and over here is so-and-so, and this was that, and this, boy, he was a real historian, but that's the way he traveled. When I was up to where I could remember going with him, we occasionally went up to northern New Hampshire in Gorham, where my mother's sister Gladys lived with her husband Lloyd Chandler. He was a German fella, and they had one daughter, Ruth Chandler, and she married a fellow that went to Dartmouth College and wound up being superintendent of schools down in Massachusetts. And Wright. His name was Wright. So her name would be Ruth Chandler Wright. And she lives in western Massachusetts in one of those good-sized towns down there. And we weren't awful close to her, and her husband was quite a controlling guy, and he didn't let her do a lot of things, but your mother corresponded with her some, and I think she stopped in one time, but Ruthie was awful funny about letting anybody in the house, and your mother said she acted like she didn't want any company, didn't want anybody to come in, and maybe that was because of her husband didn't want her socializing with other people. But as far as I know, this Ruthie Chandler is still living down there in western Massachusetts in one of those towns, Worcester, or not Worcester, somewhere down there where they had machine tool shops. We would go on summer vacations, and occasionally the parents would send us up or take us up to Gorham, which was up in the White Mountains, and we'd stay a week or two and then come home. But seeing how Ruthie was a girl, their only child was a girl, it was mostly Ann and Margaret that went up there, although I remember going up there one time. And that was quite a drive back in those days, you know. It was probably 200 miles up there to Gorham from Marlborough. It was a long ways, and you didn't drive as fast in those days as you did now, even in motor vehicles. So anyway, and we always went in the pickup, and we rode in the back of the pickup. We had plenty of blankets and everything, but that was kind of embarrassing, having people pass us up and being riding in the back of the pickup truck. But that's all we ever had. I don't ever remember owning a car until Dad retired and married our stepmother Cora. Then they bought a nice Chrysler car and got, of course he was retired, they got rid of all the trucks that he used in his work. But we did visit those relatives. We went down to Framingham and visited the Elwells. I can't ever remember going down to West Haven, Connecticut, which is very close to New Haven, to visit the Kirks, but their daughter came up to visit us a number of times. So, anyway, yeah, we used to go up to Vermont. We went to a place called Newfane, Vermont, and I think Grandpa Wiswell had a full brother up there whose name was Fred. Uncle Fred. But he was a preacher, and he was married, but they had no children. And your mother and I went up there with mother and dad one time, and they wouldn't let us in the house. They didn't want the children in the house. We sat on the front porch, and I remember the house was very close to the highway, had just a very short driveway, room enough to park the truck, and that's about all. But if you went around the back of the house, it sloped down towards the river or something, and there was a railroad down there, and we'd sit out there on the bank and watch the train go by or something like that. But otherwise, we weren't allowed in the house, and we had to sit out on the porch until mother and dad got through visiting, and we went back to Marlboro. But that was about the extent of our travels. So, let's see. That's about it on the questions you asked me, so I'm going to stop again and get my thoughts together and think about